Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring him in now, the lead studio host for the Big Ten Network, Dave Revson, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Dave, how you been, my friend?
I'm great. What's going on, Bill?
Well, we're just kind of sitting. We're sitting here divided because some of us understand where the Badgers are at, and others just can't believe that an undefeated Big Ten team is not already in the Final Four and being looked at as one of the perennial powers. So my perspective is, look, the schedule was not great, and the teams that they were supposed to drill, they didn't drill. They didn't pound them into submission. So you're looking at a quarterback who's made some mistakes, but your defense is legit, and you probably deserve to be at number five right now, and you just have to wait the rest of the season plays out. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I guess I just feel like from Wisconsin's point of view, Bill, I just don't think it's worth getting worked up about, because if they win out, I don't see any way that they won't be in the Final Four. And if they don't win out, I don't see any way they will be in the Final Four. I really think it just comes down to if they're undefeated as a conference champ in the Big Ten, particularly considering what's gone on in some other leagues. I mean, the Pac-12 is in essence eliminated. So I think an undefeated Big Ten champion absolutely gets in. There's at least one team guaranteed to lose ahead of them because Clemson and Miami have to play one another. So I think Wisconsin's in a perfect spot right now. And I almost feel like it's kind of the way Paul Chryst likes it, that they're not in the spotlight. They can just kind of go about their business. But I think with the way things broke a week ago, I can't imagine a scenario where an undefeated Wisconsin team doesn't get in.
When you looked at things a couple of weeks ago when the playoff rankings first came out and they were sitting at number 9 and people were up in arms about it, did you understand it, or do you feel that the Big Ten was somewhat slighted by it? I mean, I had said all along, look, when you're going to play a BYU and you schedule them, the program was up. Then the program's down. You did what you're supposed to do. But some of these teams struggling with Illinois, struggling with Purdue, struggling with some of these teams, and you're not dump trucking these things like teams above you are, even though you're not garnering the top 25 wins, that's kind of what you're expected to do in today's day and age, right?
I think that's fair. I guess I just felt like at that point there was so much football left to be played that it didn't seem worth getting worked up about, because teams lose. You know, we put together these disaster scenarios every year in college football when this comes out. Well, what if these 7 teams all win out? Well, the fact of the matter is that in college football, it doesn't happen. Teams lose. And so were they getting the respect they deserve? Were they not getting the respect they deserve? I'm kind of with you, Bill. I think it was probably about right, given who they had beaten, again, through no fault of their own at that point. But the schedule's getting much tougher here down the stretch. I mean, you've got to play Michigan, who's ranked this week. You're going to have to play likely Ohio State in Indianapolis. So I don't think people are going to be quibbling nearly as much with the schedule at the end here. And the fact of the matter is, it was a waste of breath because all these teams did end up losing in front of them. And again, I think they're in a great position right now.
No, I'll say 2 things. First of all, I completely agree with you on the waste of breath. As a talk show host, I'm that's what I'm supposed to do. So I wasted a lot of breath.
We do it in a different format. We do it for an hour every afternoon on television rather than a few hours on the radio. But it's the same concept.
Right.
I mean, I'm not.
No. I completely get it.
I'm just, you know. I'm
yeah. No, I get it. I agree with you
100%.
So give me the thoughts on this matchup, because you've got Michigan that has had, they've looked good at times. Their offense hasn't been great. Defensively, they're legit. They were expected to do more this year and to really make that push. And give me your thoughts on Michigan coming into this ballgame.
Great defense, really, really good, and a defense that can confuse you and a defense that can score points off of your mistakes. So that's a problem for Wisconsin, of course, because we know they've had a tendency, Alex Hornibrook said a tendency here with an interception each of the last 7 games, a couple pick sixes last week. And so we understand why that would be a challenge from Wisconsin's point of view. But they're really not very good offensively. Their offensive line is struggling. They've had trouble opening up the run game other than these last couple of weeks, although in the Maryland game they didn't run it great. But the 2 previous weeks they ran it really, really well, albeit not against great competition. in Rutgers and Minnesota. So, but by and large this year, they haven't had a great tailback run game. And they give up a ton of sacks. I mean, they give up a sack nearly one out of every 10 times they drop back to pass. Only Illinois is worse in the Big Ten. I think it's like 9.7% of their dropbacks are sacks. So when you combine that with Wisconsin leading the Big Ten in sacks and with their ability to confuse people with the odd man fronts, I think it's a really difficult defense for Michigan to move the ball on. And I think if Wisconsin's offense doesn't make huge mistakes, I think Wisconsin wins the game.
I was just going to ask you, if Wisconsin can keep the mistakes to a minimum, let me ask you this, who's got the better defense?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it's kind of a toss-up, honestly. I don't mean to not answer the question. I think they're both really good. I think they're both defenses that are at a level that you could take that defense anywhere and it could be a national championship type defense. I mean, the only thing I'd say was the Penn State game was the only game this year where either one of these defenses, Penn State game for Michigan, where either one of these defenses got burned, like had a really bad game. And so since Wisconsin hasn't had a really bad game defensively yet, maybe I'd lean in their direction as the better D. Obviously, the performance last week was out of this world. I mean, to give up 66 yards to a team that had just scored 55 points against Ohio State is staggering. But again, I think either one of these defenses is championship level, Bill. I just think that Wisconsin has a better offense.
We go from Dave Aranda and you move forward and then in comes Leonard and he has taken over this defense and it seemingly has gotten better as the season has gone along. What do you see similarity-wise, defensively speaking, out of this team that they've been able to remain so consistent and so stout defensively?
Well, it really, I think a lot of the credit still goes to Dave Aranda because he was the guy who brought this three-man front to Wisconsin, and they have been very good defensively, as we know. I mean, they've had very good defensive teams through the years. But this run of dominance here really started with bringing in Dave Aranda, with playing in this certain way, and then understanding, even going through different coaches, that the continuity was important to keep. You know, this notion of, okay, we might have a different coordinator here, but we're still going to keep this three-man front, the odd-man front defense, and because the players know it and because it's been effective for us. So even though you had three different coordinators in 3 years, which is remarkable to me, the philosophy has stayed the same. And I think that kind of speaks more broadly to the Wisconsin program. I mean, they kind of have a formula. They have something that works for them. We know what it is on offense, and now they have something that works for them on defense. For that matter, they have something that works for them in basketball, too. And being true to who you are gets you a long way if that is a good recipe for success. So I think it's worked out really well for them, and I think that's how they've been able to overcome these transitions.
Going back to what you talked about the Iowa game, I wanted to get into that for a second because Iowa, a huge win over Ohio State, all the momentum in the world, and if I have to believe the mantra that week was don't let that game get ahead of you. You still have more to play. And they came in and just didn't look good against Wisconsin. Was Wisconsin just that dominant or did they empty their entire bucket against Ohio State?
It may be a combination of the two. Look, Iowa hasn't been a great offense this year. And that's why it was so out of nowhere what they did against Ohio State. I mean, it was kind of where did this come from? This is a team that had struggled offensively. It just didn't make any sense to me to see what happened. And I give them a ton of credit. I mean, I thought Brian Ferentz had a great game plan. Nate Stanley is a really good quarterback and has been a good quarterback all year. But this has not been a dynamic team. I mean, it's a team that kind of made a living on low-scoring games, playing good defense. So I think part of it might have been just that everything went right for Iowa in that Ohio State game, and then they kind of regressed to the mean a little bit against Wisconsin. But 66 yards is, I mean, that was as good a defensive effort as I think I've ever seen. I mean, Wisconsin was just fabulous defensively from the very first snap. It was remarkable, and I would hate to take any of the credit away from Wisconsin because I don't care how bad a team is offensively. 66 yards is amazing, and Iowa certainly showed us the week before they had the potential to be pretty good.
Talking with Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network about the Wisconsin Badgers matching up against the Michigan Wolverines this weekend. And then you've got games that mean after this. I mean, you know, if you're Michigan, you're thinking to yourself, don't overlook Wisconsin because you've got, you know, for that Ohio State matchup, because we all know they're gearing up for that. And the Badgers can't start to think about Paul Bunyan's axe. This is a big one for them with College Game Day, the national eyes. How much does having game day here, all the national eyes, early ball game, first out of the chute, all that mean to this Wisconsin Badger program in the sense of the committee looking at them and getting a single look at them to say, okay, now we're going to get a sense as to what this team really is with a top 25 team in town?
Well, I think where it really helps Wisconsin this week if they play well, it's just that there aren't very many good games nationally. I mean,
correct.
The teams ahead of them are playing terrible teams, right? I mean, you've got, you know, the Citadel on the schedule. Alabama's playing Mercer.
Right.
Even Oklahoma's playing a conference game. It's against Kansas. So you've got so many bad games out there that everyone will be watching Wisconsin. I mean, there's no excuse for you not to watch this game because there's nothing else really happening. So I think that's good for Wisconsin because I happen to think they're really good. I think this game favors them. I think Michigan breaking into the rankings helps them, Bill, because now you get a little bit more credibility from this win. So I think it lines up really well for the Badgers. If they play a good game, which I have no reason to believe they won't, I think that then it gives them that it takes one of the criticisms away from them, you know, again, that they haven't beaten good teams. You know, they'll do it on a national stage with everyone watching here, and I think that would help a ton.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, should Badger fans feel in any way slighted for the fact that this game's an 11 o'clock game rather than an evening game or a late afternoon game?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, the Michigan-Ohio State game is always an 11 o'clock game.
See, I said the same thing, and some people here felt like it was a slap in the face that it's an early game.
Wow. No, I don't think so. I mean, again, I'm not a programmer, so I don't have the whole, you know, where this should fit and, you know, kind of the formula that they use as to how they generate ratings. But, I mean, I'd be surprised if this isn't, if not the highest rated game of the weekend, one of the one or two, you know, two or three highest rated games of the weekend. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just trying to reinforce that early window or, you know, who knows what, but I don't know. I don't see it that way.
I didn't have a problem with it. Some do.
Yeah.
Dave, look, I completely agree with you. A lot of these big rivalry games are usually those earlier games anyway, so no big deal to me, but some people had an issue.
I mean, I would just say this. I'd say this. When you've got Gus Johnson coming to call your game, I think you're getting national respect.
I believe so as well. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for joining us, okay?
All right, Bill. Yep,
there you go.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network joining us for a couple of minutes.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.